I grew up in Phoenix, as you can tell, and loved it very much. One of the great things about growing up in the West, like where I grew up in Phoenix, is that everybody has a swimming pool, and we were no exception. We had a swimming pool in our backyard. It seemed like everybody in our whole neighborhood had a swimming pool. And there were two games that were my absolute favorite games in the swimming pool, okay? Now, the one game could only be played in our swimming pool because it was deep enough and it had enough room around it to play this game. It was called the matchstick game. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but you take a wooden matchstick and you cut off the tip that you strike with. So it's just a piece of wood. And if you put it in the water, you can barely see it. And we would all get around the pool, and one person would take that matchstick, and they would dive down to the bottom where the drain is, and they would swim back up, and slowly but surely that little match would start to rise in the water, and we'd all sit around, and we'd look to see if we could find the matchstick, and we'd look, and all of a sudden one person would see it, and he'd start to jump, and then everybody else would jump, and we'd all grab for the matchstick, and we'd beat our heads together, and we'd build blood, and it was just great fun, you know? And I'm sure that today, you know, the liability laws, they probably wouldn't allow it. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And we really, really enjoyed it. And fortunately, nobody ever got seriously hurt. The other game, now this was a different game. Now, we couldn't play this game in our pool. We had to go across the street to the Millers. Now, you see, the Millers had an above-ground pool. And it was about 10 feet in diameter. And it had a vinyl lining in the inside, and it was completely circular, okay? And it had a little ladder to get into it. And what we would do is we would get about 20 kids, and we'd be in this pool, and we'd play this game called Whirlpool. Have you ever heard of this? It's where you stand at the outside edge of this pool, and you just start walking, okay? And everybody starts walking, and all of a sudden, you get more and more movement, and walking and walking and more movement, and pretty soon, you're creating this big, huge whirlpool, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going, and everybody's going, and it's great, and it's, let's stop this thing, but it would just keep going and going, and it would carry everybody around, and it was just a great, great game. We used to love it. We used to play it for hours, and then we'd get out of the pool, and we'd go play matchstick and get bloody again, and then we'd go back and play whirlpool. It was fun. You see, and both of them make a lot of splashing, and both of them have a lot of water movement, but the fact is that only one of them is kind of coordinated, and one of them is just a lot of splashing around. Think about it. We're finishing up our capital campaign today, and we're now in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 11, and Paul's talking about the church in Ephesus. And is he talking about a church that's got all this movement, that everybody's going in the same direction, or is he talking about a church that's just got a lot of splashing around? That's the question, because as we've gone through Ephesians and we've looked in Acts about the church in Ephesus, I mean, everything we know about this church is that it was a great church. It was making a huge impact in the community. It was loving God. God was loving them and blessing them, and yet, for some reason, here in Ephesians 2, verse 11, Paul has to bring up some of the negative stuff that's coming in the church. And the negative stuff that was coming in the church of Ephesus, Paul doesn't spend nearly as much time here in Ephesus as he does in the book of Galatians, where in practically the whole book of Galatians, he talks about this issue. But in Ephesus, he just talks about it briefly, but it must have been pretty severe. It's about the fact that when Jesus Christ came, He came not only for the Jews, the chosen of God, but he opened up the kingdom of God also to the Gentiles. Now think about what that would do today. If God were to come and the Christian church and he were to open it up to, say, somebody who is not Christian, or if you've got a group of people and all of a sudden somebody comes in and opens it up to a different group of people, imagine the conflict that would happen. When I was younger, this was years and years and years and years ago. Years ago. In Scottsdale, Arizona, I worked at a French restaurant, okay? And it was called La Chamière. It was a very, very fancy French restaurant, La Chamière. I remember asking the owner of the restaurant, what does La Chamière mean? He says, well, it's a hut. I said, well, if you want to sell a $25 steak, you got to call it La Chamière, because nobody's going to buy a $25 steak from the hut. But it was a French restaurant, and they were good cooks. I've never had food as good, except for my wife. I've never, ever had restaurant food as good and my mother, okay, as La Chaumière. It was incredibly good. But there was one guy who worked at this restaurant, and he was not French, okay? He was German. Now you think, you know, they're both from Europe. They're right next to each other. Of course, they must love each other. They hated each other. I mean, they really, I've never experienced anything like this before. I don't know if we have any French or Germans, you know, here this morning, and I apologize for this, but I would ask the German guy, why don't you like the French guys at this restaurant? He goes, French, yeah. And then I'd go and ask the French people, why do you like the Germans? I mean, they did not like each other. I've never experienced anything like this before. But they were divided, completely divided. They worked in the same restaurant, served the same people. They were there for the same mission, and yet they were divided. And it did cause friction in that facility. It really did cause friction to the point where the German guy actually left and started his own restaurant. You see, divisions do that. And when Christ came and he brought the Gentiles together and the people of Israel together, it must have caused a lot of conflict. Because Paul doesn't talk about it a lot, but listen to some of the words that he talks about in verse 14. In verse 14, he says, Christ has come to destroy the barrier. There must have been some barrier between these two. And he came to divide the wall of hostility. The wall of hostility. There must have been something there. Even though they were there on the same mission and everything, it must have caused them incredible friction to have both groups in the same congregation doing the same purpose, and yet they were fighting each other. And they shouldn't have. The word for the wall here, the dividing wall, the word right there is phragmas. They were fragmented. They weren't of the same mind and heart, and so it was causing divisions among that church. It's like all of them are playing the game of matchstick. And yeah, there's a lot of activity and the water's going up. Everyone's having great fun, but nothing's getting done. Whereas God calls us as a church to be like the other game, the whirlpool game, where we're all kind of going on the same page and we're all doing the same thing. And the force with God stirring the pot and being in each one of our lives, we're all moving on the same page, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Folks, that's what God calls us to do. Today is the ending of our capital campaign. And we've gone a lot of weeks. We've looked at Ephesians. We've looked at how God's blessed this church. And it is my prayer as we get into this last phase, this last message on our capital campaign, more than the money, and we've talked about this at some of the communications events, more than the money, I have two desires for you. One is that through this capital campaign, you pray to God that he would give you guidance as far as what to do, and that you would challenge yourself and challenge him and then watch him to do the blessings. But the other thing that I pray happens during this capital campaign is that all of us join together and we all start marching in the same direction, like that whirlpool game, that we're all standing around the outside of the pool or the inside of the pool and marching, and we're creating something here that is an incredible force, an incredible force. That's what I'm praying that happens here in this church at this time. Because Satan's out there, and he's trying to get us to have our own personalities and our own feelings and our own things, and he's trying to destroy us, and he's trying to say, hey, look at this, play the matchstick game. That's all that you have to do. You just have to be here and do that. But the fact is, we've got a mission to do in our church. And that mission isn't necessarily just our own internal game. That mission is to create a force that is powerful enough that it impacts the community around us. That's what God's calling us to do, but we can't do it by ourselves. And our sinful nature doesn't let us do it. But God can do it through us. Listen to what Paul writes in verse 17. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both, or we could say in this congregation, we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the head cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Through the power of Jesus Christ, we know this, that at one point all of us were alienated from God because of our sin. And there was a barrier of hostility between us and God, but Jesus Christ came and broke down that barrier. And so now, because of him, we're all in this together. We're all part of God's incredible craftsmanship here in this time and in this place. And he wants us to build a holy temple. He wants us to build something here for him. And as I have been a part of this congregation, I can't tell you how much I've seen God's work in this congregation, his hand. His Holy Spirit is doing things here that is so amazing and so exciting to watch. It's like he's taken a big stirring rod and he's got us all going in the same direction. And my prayer for you as we do this capital campaign is that you simply just join on board, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's working in this place and that you let him use your life, that you stand in the middle of the pool and move to the side and you just start walking with this church. And as we grow, as we build this whirlpool, as God stirs us up and gets us all in the same direction, it not only becomes a whirlpool, but it becomes a hurricane. And it goes out from this place into Vail community. And people are drawn in by the force of that. They see the love that's happening. They see the power of God's Spirit happening in this place. And they're drawn to that. And lives are changed. And then it grows larger and larger. And it's not a hurricane of destruction. It's a hurricane of hope. A hurricane of hope for the Vail community. A hurricane of hope for Tucson, for the ends of the world. And you know what? It's not just our hurricane, but it's God's hurricane, because it's a hurricane that he started on Pentecost so many years ago when he sent the Holy Spirit here in this place and he stirred up the church, and the church has been creating a hurricane of hope ever since. And we're part of that. Think about that. We're part of that. That's my prayer for this church, that we would all walk together, that we would all feel God's powerful hurricane force in our lives. And because of the power of Jesus, that we would impact this community for him. In his name, amen.